Digest Radio.
I buy the Hot Pockets. I go in grocery stores. I'm like, yeah, I'll get these. I've never eaten a Hot Pocket and then afterwards been, I'm glad I ate that. I'm always like, I'm going to die. I paid for that? Did I eat it or rub it on my face? My back hurts.
Strategist Radio.
Raw and real. No crap. No fluff. No hype. Just pure strategic pleasure from his playbook to yours. Love, affection, and looking out for you. Live from the Trinity WebWorks Business Radio Studios on the Trinity Broadcast Network. The Strategist Radio Live with your Italian ace in the hole, TJ Marino.
This is a job for Kool-Aid. Hey, Kool-Aid!
Oh, yeah. Kool-Aid's here, bringing you fun.
Clear away from the online marketing Kool-Aid bar.
Enjoy the refreshing, cool, crisp taste of proven business and marketing strategies. Tactics, trends, and techniques. The Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino.
Now let me get this straight. Put the lime in the coconut, you drink a bowl.
Strategist Radio.
Hey, you. It's 6:02. Welcome to your Friday, third day of July 2015. You know, life is like an ocean. It can be calm or still and rough or rigid, but in the end, it's always beautiful. Welcome to your Independence Day edition of Strategist Radio Live for your Friday. Glad to have you on board this morning. That's why I'm here. I mean, otherwise I'd be here all by myself. That'd be kind of stupid. Today we talk about book marketing strategy because it is Friday and that's how we do it. Today we'll talk about why ebook subscription platforms underperform. Now, as being a practicing entrepreneur within a given industry, book authors must maintain a fervent understanding about shifts and changes within the book publishing / marketing sectors. Now, as of late, media and tech organizations have been fast to declare the Netflix of ebooks, aka the subscription model, as the future of digital content. Interesting. And in concept, that may make sense. For instance, who doesn't want access to nearly any book in the world at any time for one flat monthly fee? Now, as self-published or traditionally published book authors, what might this literary strategy / distribution channel mean for your book sales process and your overall ebook monetization plan? We'll talk about that in the program today. Also, we'll check in with our friends at Entrepreneur and talk about the 5 signs a coach or consultant may very well be a waste of your dough. Also, we'll check in with Colleen DeBase as she visits with the amazing Steve Blank. They discuss how to grow your business. And if you're writing books, you're in business. And we'll check in with Tom Peters, talking about leadership, strategy, and the art of listening. All ahead on this edition of Strategist Radio Live for your Friday. The nice thing about this program is it's time shifted, location shifted after we did the live airing, you know, because Monday through Friday, we do 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific time here on the West Coast, L.A. time. We broadcast live from the Reed Opera House, which is located in the state capital city of Salem in Oregon. Beautiful downtown area. Love the people here. I mean, it's the audience, the market here is so diverse. I mean, you're, one minute you're talking to a bohemian, the next minute you're talking to a court judge, then the next minute you're talking to one of the amazing police officers, the meter. Checkers here, those wonderful people running up and down the street. You've got the homeless, sweet people. big hearts looking for love. You've got the gypsies, and you've got the, you know, the hippies and the hipsters. And it, what a diverse community here. And I love broadcasting from the Reed Opera House, built in 1870. It's a historical landmark here in the downtown area. And I want to thank Roger Yost, who's an amazing man. He was the one of the marketing kingpins for a sportswear company for so many years, and just built up his wealth and fame. Hard worker, heart for the community. I want to thank Roger for allowing us to come in here a while back and letting us set up our radio studios here in the Reed Opera House. Love to have you on board each and every day. Love to hear from you. Your social media pings mean the world to me. Lets me know that you love me and you care. And you know, I like your emails. I want to hear where it hurts so that I can, you know, come in and share what I've learned through the years, you know, both from a scholarly perspective, also from, you know, kind of that experiential, you know, platform of my life. You know, 54 now. And still learning, still a lifelong learner. Many of you know I'm finishing up my doctoral program at Walden University. So proud to be a part of their organization and to finish my residencies, getting ready to finish my last two classes. And then it's about a year or so before you finish your doc study and then get to call yourself doctor. And really what you become is more of a social scientist, because I'm aspiring to a doctoral candidate in the DBA program, which is kind of akin to the PhD. Difference between a PhD, a doctor of philosophy, and a DBA, doctor of business administration, is that a PhD is really those that go out and determine, is there a problem? Is there a phenomena that needs further research? And then the DBA takes what the PhDs have, you know, hypothesized, and then we come in and we try to find, you know, to take that problem solution approach to be able to help bolster social change, you know, in business and in the personal lives of the 7, you know, or so billion people on planet Earth, particularly those involved in business. But even those that are not involved in business are still affected by you and I as entrepreneurs and as business owners. So I just appreciate you being here. Love to hear from you. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, suggestions, I'd love to hear from you. Shoot me an email anytime at support@tjmarino.com. Once we produce the live airings in the morning here, we turn it into a podcast. We record it and we turn it into a podcast shortly after. We make it available on all platforms. You can get all the details by visiting the hub at tjmarino.com, and while you're there, help yourself to become an Inner Circle member. Really, Inner Circle membership allows me to get to know who you are. We're about 83,000 strong now. We've been at it about 13 years, and I'd love to have you part of the family. And if you like what you're hearing on the program, please feel free to share. You know, let's spread it, you know. Let's spread the information. It's not mine. It's information that I've curated through learning and through experience. And so I feel blessed to be able to take what I've learned and share it with you. And I hope that, you know, one or two things that I might mention, it's not the end all. I don't do this as a silver bullet or magic pill every day. I do it to maybe remind you of something that you've learned long ago and maybe set aside. I talk about the trends in the industry. We take a look at different aspects of marketing, you know, relative to consumer behavior patterns, because that's always shifting and changing. We look at statistics. We look at the different tools and technologies to help you increase market share and to increase and generate higher profits. Entrepreneur refers to me as a business expansion strategist. Our firm really does all things business strategy, you know, and it ranges anywhere from developing copy, messaging for particular markets, developing target market composites, doing competitive analysis, looking at trends and statistics, both, you know, the historicals, the present, and what we can expect into the future. We use a lot of tools helping us to do financial performance for clients as well. We also write music tracks. We have a recording studio here, both musically and also for television and radio. We also produce business plans. We help authors. That was almost by accident about 4 or 5 years ago. There was such a need in the industry because of what Bezos had done at Amazon with their CreateSpace platform, and then Ingram came along with their Lightning Source, and it became easier for people to publish their own books. The problem is that the key component that was missing was the marketing. And the marketing really begins, the strategy really begins the moment you sit down and say, okay, I'm going to author a book. You can't even begin to author the book until you know who you're writing for, right? You got to know who you're having a conversation with. I talk about, you know, two different languages. If husbands and wives, wives and husbands, you know, they speak to each other. They've known each other for years, perhaps. And even there's a disconnect in the way that they communicate. So it's important to know who you're communicating with. It's important to understand that target audience. Or in the author's arena, it would be understanding your readers, your individual readers, that core reader. How do they read? What are their habits? Depending on the genre you're in. So you have to understand who you're talking to before you can even begin writing the book. It's about a year process to sit down, understand the business angle, the strategy part, and then you're writing your book with that reader, the target reader in mind, so that you don't cause a disconnect. And that whole process from getting that book published to all of your pre-roll, your publicity, getting all of your website up to and touching, getting all of your sales channels, your pipelines in process, so you can, you know, grab those prospects and turn them into buyers, readers, right? Okay, a lot of steps in the process. And that's one of the reasons why on Friday, I take every Friday, we focus on the book marketing strategy portion of both the self-publishing industry and the traditional publishing industry, because it's missing out there. There's just not a lot of meat and potatoes, and we were very blessed to be able to work with some New York Times bestselling authors and help them through their process, and we got pretty good at it. We're not perfect. We're learning every single day because the market is always shifting. But we still try to maintain sustain our finger on the pulse so that we can help to fortify and bolster the process of our clients, and particularly literary clients, since we're talking about the literary sector on our Friday editions of the program. So I hope it helps. We'll talk about why ebook subscription platforms do underperform. First, I want to share with you a piece from our friends over at Entrepreneur. And I like this because often, as, you know, from an author's perspective, you know, you're probably a great writer, but maybe your core competency has nothing to do with, you know, doing graphic arts or understanding how to communicate with your audience or, again, the statistics, all the things that it's talked about. So you reach out there and say, well, I'm going to have to hire a consultant or maybe a coach to get me through this process. And that's really cool. First of all, A, you're outsourcing, so they're not actually an employee, so you're not having to worry about, you know, their taxation and benefits, et cetera, et cetera. So you're outsourcing to someone. I think that's great. It's almost imperative when you are starting your business, okay, because you've got to watch your cash flow. And if you start hiring employees right out of the gate, that can eat you alive and turn out your lights. So our friends over at Entrepreneur sent this my way, and it really talks about the coaching and consulting industry, and when it comes down, well, when you start thinking it's, wait a minute, this is maybe a waste of time, Kimanzi Constable, who's a contributor, author, coach, blogger at KimanziConstable.com, talks about in business there are roadblocks that an outside perspective could help you overcome. Spending a little bit of money on training could be what you need to take your business to that next level. The money spent could be returned to your business tenfold if what you learn is properly implemented. The internet has given us unparalleled access to knowledge. Online, we can take courses or hire professionals from all over the globe. Social media and marketing are necessary today to carve an audience from the 2.5 billion people who log onto the internet every day. Pretty amazing, huh? The potential for business has driven entrepreneurs to pay for professionals who market well, but only deliver hype. In the journey to build his business, he spent $5,000. I'm talking about Kimanzi here. Spent $5,000 on services that were disappointing at best. And so he suggests these five questions to ask before hiring a coach or consultant to avoid being in that same position. And I don't know, the term hype, you know, delivering only hype. You know, I think that there's a lot of, and again, I can't judge it. I can only say we don't know the heart of the individual who's claiming to be the expert marketer or the expert consultant or coach. I think we need to spend time getting to know them first. And this is my own little spin. You need to, one of the things that we do with new clientele here at our firm that we're going to consult with on a professional basis is we take at least a month. Everybody puts their checkbooks and credit cards away, and we take a month to really get to know the prospect. We get to share who we are as a firm. They get to share who they are as a business owner, as a person. And it becomes more of a family affair. And then once we're able to establish whether or not, because not always will it be a good fit, whether or not we can help them or help them achieve that goal, solve that problem, or satisfy that need, only then do we take the plunge. But by then, we're so comfortable, our team, the client's team, and we're one for all and all for one, where it's a win-win all the way around. It's actually a win-win-win. Win for us, win for client, and win for the target audience the client wishes to serve. And once we're able to establish that, if we are, then we can take it to the next level. And it's an easy transition. I say be patient. I say trust the process. But you have to know what the process is. And so Kamanzi here, Constable, shares with us some ideas, some questions to ask. Is the person, company using marketing speak? So when you're talking to that coach or that consultant, are they talking to you in regular straight-up language, or are they talking to you in, you know, this real scholarly fashion? You know, every day when you log onto Facebook, you're bombarded with ads about living the laptop lifestyle or use this cheat sheet to make six figures. And you see these programs and courses that tell you to have your expert positioning or your funnel optimization in place. Well, what the hell is that? Again, there's marketing speak. And Kamanzi makes a good point. Now, there's a lot of marketing speak that sounds good and valuable, but has no practical value in your business. One of the things that I always, you know, depending on the type of consulting that you're reaching out for or coaching, if it's business consulting, then first thing we got to find out is your business definition. What's the business? What business are you in? What industry do you compete in? Next, what's your mission? What's your objectives in that order? Business definition, business mission, and number three was your business objectives. Your production objectives, your marketing objectives, and your financial objectives. Without establishing that, that's the foundation. With those things not being in place, you can't just look at somebody's website and go, that's a mistake. Or you need to go change how you're blogging, or your social media sucks. You can't do that as a consultant. And so you need to spend enough time with a consultant to understand how they're going to help you specifically. Are they going to run a financial pro forma to see when you're going to hit that break-even analysis? Can they make guarantees? Do they really truly understand? And are they connecting with you on a very head, personal, heart level? Kamanzi also said, are the testimonials suspect for the person's company? Sadly, testimonials don't hold the weight they used to. These days, according to Kamanzi, it's easy to fake them or get testimonials from people who have partially used the service. You want to be suspicious if you can't contact the people. If it seems, you know, if the person's speaking one way and their testimonials are another, we got to misfire. Smart entrepreneurs do their homework and research before they invest their money. So make those investigations count. Is the person or company relying on past success? Is it always yesterday? What are they doing currently? What's the consulting firm or the consulting or coaching firm's future perspectives? What does that look like? Where are they now? It's great to know that they've had past success, but are they staying up to speed with current trends and with what's working? All right, what worked yesterday for breakfast may not work today for lunch. That's how quickly things move sometimes out there. The world of digital, the nano speed. Are the strategies still relevant? Are they using old school techniques? I see a lot of that all the time. I see pop-ups here and squeeze pages that look like they were built circa 1997. Is it fresh? Is it relevant? And can the consulting coach prove why their methodology works in current circa? And finally, is the content designed to upsell you? Is everything they do putting you in a position where they're going to upsell you and upsell you and upsell you? You've got to invest in yourself, but only if you're getting what you paid for. With today's access and technologies, there's no need to overpay for services. If the value is there, and if the value is proven, then don't hesitate. The right services can be invaluable to you, but do your research. Hey, if there's somebody you need for us to take a look at, send me an email. Send it to support@tjmoreno.com. Say, hey, I'm looking at doing business with XYZ. What say you, Moreno? We'll take a poke. We'll take a poke at it. We'll tell you what we know. We might do a little bit of research for you. Why not? You're a friend. You're asking a question. I want to thank our friends at entrepreneur.com for providing this type of information each and every day on the program. I want to thank Kamanzi. Constable. He's a contributor, author, coach, blogger at ComanzeesConstable.com. Check out the website there, and please get a subscription to Entrepreneur today. Visit Entrepreneur.com.
Strategist Radio.
Okay, a lot to cover. We've got short time to do it in. Quickly want to remind you, get your fanny into the Strata Library at the hub at tjmoreno.com. What are you filling your brain with? June. The June book of the month is the Innovator's Dilemma. And I got to tell you, Clayton Christensen, its book is not new, but it is worth the read because it's about innovation and creativity in today's challenging, competitive business environment. Check it out on the Strata Library at the hub at tjmoreno.com. There for you. Okay, so to grow your business, let's check in with some experts. First of all, Colleen DeBay is an entrepreneur. She visits with Steve Blank. He's an amazing entrepreneur in his own right. And discuss strategies for growing your business.
I'm talking with serial entrepreneur Steve Blank, the author, along with Bob Dorf, of the book, The Startup Owner's Manual. Steve, in the book, you outline how to get, keep, and grow customers. So let's talk a little bit about growing customers. Essentially, say there's two different ways to grow your existing customers. You can either get current customers to spend more, or you can encourage them to send more customers your way. So let's go over that part about getting current customers to spend more. I know one thing you recommend is cross-selling programs. Now, what are cross-selling programs?
Well, we've all encountered it is kind of when you buy the printer, you know, here's the toner, or, right. You know, when you buy the printer, let's buy some more paper, or when you buy the camera, here's the additional lenses. Those are all, you know, you've bought the main product. I got you interested in the category, and you might want some ancillary or accessories.
Now, is that the same as upselling, or is upselling a different?
So upselling, in fact, when I was a kid, Sears used to be the masters at upselling. And for their tools division, they always had a good, better, and best product. Mm-hmm. And you always bought good if you couldn't afford it, but you always, like, wanted the best. Right. And so you give the customer an option of actually opting in. In consumer goods, if you look at washer and dryers or kitchen appliances, there's always a version with more buttons that cost more.
So these are all pretty classic strategies, which is great. What about unbundling?
Well, unbundling just simply says, you know, if I'm, let's use the printer example again, you know, why don't I make the duplexer a separate option? And so now I've kind of taken what used to be a standard product and separated it out.
The idea is you can ultimately charge a little bit more
when you do that. Or when you buy a Mac or a PC, the cables don't come with it, right?
And,
well, wait a minute, I need the cables to actually use the computer. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, someday they're going to, like, sell you the screen separately. Then that's an example of unbundling.
Great. Let's talk about a few ways to get your customers to send more customers your way. And in your book, you mentioned quite a few different ways you could use social media to do that. If I could ask you to talk about that.
You know, even for people in brick and mortar stores, being able to make your product viral, give you incentives to invite others, social media like Facebook or other communities allow you to connect potential customers together and invite others.
What about bloggers? I think you say that's one way to do it,
You know, blogging is a great way to get customers to start following you as a thought leader and all of a sudden, you know, be thinking of you as the expert in your domain. And when you recommend a product or recommend a service, they're just clicking on that button.
Yeah, and I think there's one more, the classic strategy of telling your friends that they can get a discount if they too buy this product.
Sure. You know, recommend a friend is a classic strategy of recommend a friend to get $10 off and your friend gets another $5 off. And so we've now gotten the entire community kind of committed to buying this product.
Right, and I suppose that's something you can use social media for too to make that more viral.
Right.
Great. Well, great advice. Thanks so much, Steve.
Thank you.
Twenty-four past the top of the hour, Friday morning, July 3rd, 2015. And listen, tomorrow's Independence Day. You know that 4th of July. Get together with your loving friends, family members. But here's what I want you to do. Have a ball, but party responsibly. Remember, you are a community leader. Have a good time. But remember, keep those boundaries in sight. I don't want to be here Tuesday morning because we're taking Monday off on hiatus, but for the summer schedule. But on Tuesday, I don't want to come back here by myself. So be safe. Let's talk about why ebook subscription platforms underperform. First of all, as a book author, you need to keep your finger on the pulse of the industry to which you are competing in. Pure and simple. So, recently, we find that more and more media and tech organizations are declaring Netflix of ebooks, which is this subscription model for the future of digital content, which means essentially you're going to be able to go in and they're trying to create a subscription where you pay a monthly fee and you have access to any book you want. The problem is the model's not working out so well. At first you might say, my God, I could get my book in there. I could get a royalty every time somebody reads my book, et cetera, et cetera. It might be a great way to distribute my work and leverage these channels. Like, let's say, for instance, it's BookFlix. So BookFlix, the subscription, and you can get all the ebooks you want to read for a monthly fee. And if you could get your book in that library, then you get a piece of the action. But unfortunately, the model's not working out so well. The reason is a combination of market forces, user behavior, and a basic way in which the publishing world works. Now, you start with the most minor issue, which, of course, is market forces. Now, even though the Kindle is almost 8 years old and mobile devices are expanding exponentially, ebook adoption is still at only 25% to 30% of the entire marketplace, which is tiny, and the growth has been sluggish. However, eventually and probably soon, this will all change. President Barack Obama recently announced a monumental push in the battle for better education to distribute free ebooks to low-income families, increasing their access to resources promoting literacy. Such massive government backing is proof that even the slowest of giants see the potential in ebooks. We're nearing the tipping point of actual widespread adoption. Now, the result is that eventually that 30% market share will likely grow to about 75%. The second issue is that the users consume ebooks differently than they do other subscription products. Unlike music subscription services like maybe Spotify, could be Google Play, which is what I use, where a user can consume hundreds of songs all day. See, the average e-reader is lucky to get through one book a week or even in a month. So the clock runs slower for ebooks. Music and movies can be measured in minutes and hours, but ebooks have to be measured in weeks or months. Therefore, it takes a lot more time and cash to build a viable business. Additionally, subscription services have to compete also with other short forms of reading, such as BuzzFeed, you know, Medium, and more, which are all technically free for the user to consume. So the conclusion is that it's hard to throw a game-changing party when people show up only sporadically and don't want to pay a cover charge. The next big issue, the most important one, many of the world's top publishers don't currently support subscription models and won't contribute their content to it. So the result is many frustrated people who have signed up for a service only to find out that none of the ebooks that they want are even available. The few big publishers that do contribute content to these services have learned from the Musa subscription services experience and are protecting themselves as well. So they don't want their content undervalued. So here's the thing. The future is, there's a model change, it's on the horizon, but before you get involved in the prescribed subscription model, make sure you understand the contour and the trend of the industry and consumer behavior as well. Make it a great weekend. God bless you. Happy 4th of July. We'll see you on Tuesday. Go out and love somebody. Thanks for being my friend. Kelly, close it out.
Live from the Strategist Business Radio Studio, this has been the Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino. We'd love to hear from you. Thoughts, comments, ideas, victories, and even your business's silliest business spoofs. We invite you to contact us anytime. If you'd like to share your business best practice strategy on an upcoming edition of the show with our global audience, email Tony at support@tjmarino.com. Be sure to make your way to the Hub and help yourself to all the fresh, relevant, and timely business strategy materials, including the complete radio archive library, by visiting and bookmarking tjmarino.com. If you would like Tony to set aside the time to review your present business strategy, send your request in care of support@tjmarino.com. We'll see you again Monday through Friday, 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific, for our next raw and real intimate get-together. on The Strategist Radio Live.